Welcome to the Purposeful Planning Podcast, where you'll gain tangible, practical suggestions to help you transform and elevate your practice. Our content is for both seasoned professionals working with complex family systems and those just entering the field. These podcasts will also be valuable for family leaders who are dedicated to helping individual family members find their pathway to flourishing lives and strengthening the relational fabric of the family. Welcome and thank you for joining us. And now your host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah Goldstein, founder of Enlightened Philanthropy and co-dean of philanthropy for the Purposeful Planning Institute. Today is a follow-up to the podcasts I hosted last fall. The first was with Janelle Turner of Phyla Engaged Giving, focusing on philanthropy as a team sport. The second was with Richard Marker of the Institute for Wise Philanthropy, focusing on choosing the right team. And today I'm speaking with Betsy Erickson of Arabella Advisors and Stephanie Diamond of BBR Partners on the topic of building a collaborative team. This is a conversation I've wanted to have for a long time to help illustrate how philanthropy advisors collaborate with other advisors to support their clients. So let's dive in. Betsy and Stephanie, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Deborah.
Can you start?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Can you start by sharing what your roles are at your firms and who your clients are?
Sure. So this is Betsy, and I head our family and individual practice at Arabella Advisors. And Arabella is a national level 450 person consulting firm, and it really specializes in all aspects of service to the world's leading donors and nonprofits. And Arabella was started by a family philanthropist who was an next-gen inheritor from an enterprise family. And he participated in his own family foundation and also worked at an international NGO and worked in politics. And he really saw that there were a lot of missed opportunities for strategic systems change work, for collaboration between donors, and for more efficient mechanisms to operate complex initiatives. And so we noticed that a lot of kind of impact was being squandered, but also a lot of motivation and goodwill to engage in philanthropy. And so decided to start this firm and really had a vision for a very large firm that served lots of clients and was able to sort of capture really macro level learnings that could be disseminated back out to clients through this sort of one-stop shop platform of services. So we've been around for about 25 years. And my job has always been focused on the family and individual segment, leading that practice. And I really make sure that our family and individual clients get a really kind of bespoke boutique feel that brings kind of expertise and family dynamics, experiential learning, really creative and engaging facilitation to help them get to really meaningful personalized results while also benefiting from partnering with a really large firm. And at Arabella, we have all kinds of clients. We're working with family and individuals, obviously, corporate clients, big institutional foundations. For our family clients, it's typically individuals, couples, multi-generational families. And they're usually giving or planning to give about $1 million a year or more. And most are really navigating changes. And so they're seeking support to manage through those changes. Whether that's a change in assets, a change in who's sitting at their table, it might be that they want to engage next gen or they've lost a loved one and there's sort of a shakeup in who's participating, or maybe they've invited community members onto the board, or they might have wanted to change in their strategic direction and just be more mindful and thoughtful about how their gifts can add up to impact. So we come in to support all kinds of work like that over the short and the long term.
Thank you. What a great overview. Stephanie?
Sure. Thanks, Deborah. It's great to be here and great to be here with Betsy, who she and I have worked together on a variety of different projects and clients. So we're looking forward to talking about our experiences today. I lead our philanthropy practice at BBR Partners, and BBR is a multifamily office that provides customized investment management and wealth management to ultra high net worth clients. We have offices around the country, although we're based in New York. And philanthropy is really core to our firm's values. It's giving back to the communities that we serve and helping our clients do the same. I joined 3 years ago as our clients were really beginning to think about how do I have philanthropic impact? It was a shift from I'm charitable, I really care about tax minimization, and I'm going to focus on that. But then it became, and it has become more so, I'm getting a little older. I'm starting to think about retirement. I really want to think about how can I do things in a more robust, more strategic way. And so that can mean a variety of different things to our 180 clients. And I think about myself really as a bridge and a dot connector for whatever it is that they're looking for. Some of them might be thinking about clarifying their focus from, just sort of peanut buttering their giving to really thinking about four core strategic focus areas. Some of them are really looking for meaty projects that they want to dig into to make a difference in an area. Some are thinking about, and this really goes back to some of my former experience at Schwab Charitable, how do I utilize the charitable vehicles in the most effective way to achieve a broad set of philanthropic objectives. So again, I really start with wanting to do good discovery with our clients and then connect them with that specific area of expertise. And we'll talk about that more, I know, as we talk about collaboration and where our roles intersect.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect segue to our next question, Stephanie, is where do your roles intersect? You referred to working with Betsy during your tenure at BBR. So why don't you tell me about those chances for collaboration you've had?
Absolutely. And I've known Arabella for years, and I met their founder at a conference, and he talked about family philanthropy and really thinking about being strategic and thinking about the family's giving as a whole, but also thinking about each family member's individual goals too, and how you can bring that together, but also really honor the individual needs of each particular family member. And so I always say that that was one of the things that really drove me to kind of what I do today. So goes way back. But as I mentioned, I really see myself as that dot connector, and I'm starting to do that good discovery and asking the questions of the client. We'll talk, what's the money for? What's the philanthropic impact that you want to have? And then I look to others for their bench strength in those specific areas where I may not have that expertise. And for a firm like Arabella, they, as Betsy described, they work with many families with different needs, different goals, different issue areas. And so for some clients, we'll need that additional expertise. We actually have an example that we've been working on with a client who, as I got to know them, got to learn about their desire to really shift their giving from what they were doing, which was very much in their New York community, to thinking about their broader community, which is a broad community. It's multiple locations, and really shifting what they care about. So we spent a lot of time talking about what are those focus areas, and it really came out to this idea of maternal health and mental health. And for something like that, where it's a broad area that really needs research and understanding gaps, and then thinking, what are those core needs in each specific area around the country? That's where I would want to go to somebody like Betsy and Arabella and say, based on all the work you've done with families and research you've done in these areas, how can you support this client? And let's work together around that. I think there's one other quick thing that I'll just talk about. Which is this, it's a little bit more nuanced, but Betsy, excuse me, and I talk about it all the time. And it's really about bringing different domains of expertise together when we think about like, how do you get to the best and the broadest solution? And so I think that there are, based on where I sit, there's this opportunity to connect And in its intersection, again, just with the financial aspect of giving to the philanthropic aspect of giving. And so, even within my role, there's an intersection point. And I think, everybody and all the PPI world knows, the important question is, what's the money for? And if philanthropy is part of the question, then again, the other question is, what's the philanthropic impact the client's looking to have? And so I mentioned earlier that so much with our clients, it's been the tax conversation or the financial conversation. And then we get to move to the philanthropic. But what I've loved about where I sit is that it's so powerful when we can then loop back in that financial piece of the conversation and really make it full circle. And I'll give you an example. So if we say, we understand what the client's looking to do, and now let's look at what their portfolio can support. And then let's talk to their philanthropic advisor, like Betsy, who understands what the nonprofit needs. Then it's actually a full picture of how we can align the goals of the client, the portfolio, the timing of their giving, the assets that they're going to use for their giving, and then the needs of the nonprofit. So again, it's a place where Betsy and I have had great collaboration and can really, I think, use this as a future example to help again sort of de-silo and intersect that both the financial and philanthropic pieces of giving. So I'll
I
turn it to
so
Betsy.
appreciate how you, yeah, I so appreciate how you sort of show how it goes full circle. And Betsy, why don't you step in here and share more about what your role is in that in that scenario?
Yeah, thanks. And I mean, first of all, this is such a joy to be speaking on a PPI podcast because I'm such a believer in the organization and the leadership role it plays in this kind of concept of de-siloing. And it's such a rich experience to get to talk to practitioners who have the same goals for great service to families and more creative, collaborative solutions, but that are approaching it from sort of different slices of the domain pie. And this de-siloing is so important, particularly as I mentioned, some of the kind of increasing complexities that we'll talk more about that our clients are facing. And so one of the things I've really noticed in my, tenure supporting philanthropic families is that often problems for families might show up in the philanthropy domain earlier than others. And it's often because it's the place where they might work together collaboratively for the first time. So, a classic example would be a family that has operated as a normal family with sort of parents or grandparents and children with, a normal kind of family power structure. And then they're saying, oh, we're all working together collaboratively with the same kind of role in philanthropy. But if you haven't kind of reset that table, then you might sort of see some interesting dynamics that might appear if you haven't sort of done some of that proactive rethinking of we're, the same family, but we're sitting in a different context now. And so, working with somebody that's sort of in Stephanie's role, where in a family office or a wealth advisory firm that's providing kind of more comprehensive support, where there are already a lot of conversations happening around family health and wealth in its broadest sense. There are things like vehicle structuring in the example that Stephanie mentioned, where thoughtful conversations with knowledge of philanthropy or knowledge of some philanthropic outcomes that might come to fruition if some of these conversations aren't happening earlier and kind of in the center of the hub, where wealth advisors or family office executives are really talking about those bigger picture visions and what does wealth mean to you, and then sort of seeding all these other efforts. And so it's really fun, as Stephanie mentioned, to partner where we're often implementing so many things in philanthropy, so we can kind of have a pulse on what works and what doesn't. And then, share more of that with Stephanie, who's sort of at this nexus as a dot connector. And then Stephanie can share some of the interesting things that are happening, in her world and kind of be this bridge, And I think fundamentally, if we see more of that in the sector, we'll see better outcomes for clients, and frankly, more sort of better outcomes for advisors too, who want to feel successful and knowledgeable in their work with clients.
Yeah, I so appreciate that. I mean, that is exactly why I wanted to bring this conversation to PPI and the podcast is that I knew these collaborations were happening in the, out there, and I just wanted to like spotlight them as examples of the ways that we can work together and different advisors use their strengths, and it's very clear that in the work you're doing together, each of you sort of has your role, and there's a desire to work together on behalf of the client. And so could you get into about what are the things that it takes? What's important in creating these successful collaborations? Like, what do you need to be a success at the end of this?
I think one of the things that is really fundamental to successful collaborations is something that's really indicative of just philanthropy, which is our willingness to partner and share information with each other and know that what we do is for the benefit of the greater good. I love the conversations that Betsy and I have where I'm bringing some of my experience from working at a financial institution and some of that tax information and some of the technical information around different assets that you can use for giving. And then Betsy's giving me examples of some of the more in the field work that she's done with families. And I think what's needed is to even broaden that conversation to other areas that you might not even be so obvious around philanthropy. And so an example is I was sitting with a property and casualty consultant, and we were talking about a client that she was providing coverage for related to collectibles. And it wouldn't have been the obvious conversation that I would think about, but as she talked about this incredible collection and the fact that they were going to need to think about donating it or, selling it because the next generation didn't necessarily want it, that led into, okay, well, from a philanthropic perspective, how are you going to help the family? Who are the resources that you're going to use? What information can I give to you to help you be more successful? So I think if we can just continue to educate with each other, and as advisors in the field, financial advisors, think about those people that are in your community that you can partner with and learn from, and then share information that from a financial perspective that can be useful to them and even nonprofits. I think everybody's going to rise. So Betsy, I'm going to turn to you. I think you have some examples and other thoughts as well on this.
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo a lot of what you just said, Stephanie. I think, being in learning spaces together and maintaining real learning mindsets, like I love, and again, I think people in the PPI community are sort of inherently in this bucket. But, meeting people and talking about what they're reading, what they're up against, how they're sort of getting through it is so important. I think sharing case studies so that we all understand. Not just the technical needs of our clients, but the other kind of adaptive things they're going through and where diverse sets of expertise might have sort of lessened the burden on the client as they go through something challenging. I think having really open dialogue is super important. None of this runs perfectly, and so you have to sort of course correct together a lot. And then, one of the things we're really focused on at Arabella is sort of trying to get more research and sort of rigorous insights out so that we have more shared knowledge around what clients are up against or what tools are really impactful. And there's others in the space doing that as well. And I think having some of that shared data will be useful. I'll just give a really quick example of a client we worked with recently that just sort of is a good example of the need for this kind of collaboration. This was a client that inherited a really complex set of physical assets that were kind of in various states of disrepair. And this was really technical scientific equipment. And it was on these like properties all over the world. So it was not an easy thing as a non-expert to have to steward forward. And to even get these ready to be gifted required really robust and kind of long-term collaboration between the client, the family office, a trust and estate team who would be, and the legal team who would be really executing agreements, accounting to do all the various scenarios around the physical gifts and then the cash assets, endowments that would need to go with them to the new partner. And then philanthropy, obviously. And it was a really heavy burden on the client to manage this over a period of a decade. And I think actually, if we'd started the collaboration between these diverse advisors a lot earlier and not made assumptions around what services or areas of expertise somebody else might be bringing, but we identified what the client needed and talked about who would bring it and who could most efficiently deliver it, we would have saved the client some headaches. And so I think just, we can and should be operating in some new with some new mindsets. And I think this kind of collaborative mindset, as we see increased complexity for clients, is so important.
Yeah, I really appreciate that example. And both of you sharing, what you have seen in your collaboration, and makes it all the better along the way and then in the final outcome. I'm curious before we get into a couple of our last questions, if there's another client example that you want to share in which you both have collaborated.
Absolutely. There is another great example that we have of a family where we work together. And this is a family that is sophisticated in their grant making. They were really looking to go deeper and broader and get to greater scale with their philanthropy. They are all around the country. And what we learned from really talking to them and uncovering their needs was that they really needed an outsourced team to support their philanthropy. They had a foundation and they could actually support staff and pay that staff through the foundation. And so that worked out very nicely to be able to also bring in a team that could help work with them. And where we collaborated in the best way as an investment firm. One of the things that was the most important to them as part of their philanthropy was also to align their investment dollars with their goals and do some impact investing. So Arabella and BBR were able to collaborate in that area since we are an investment management firm first and foremost. And help families with that. So I'll turn it to Betsy and let you give some more detail since I know Arabelle's worked really closely with this family for a while.
Again, this was a family that was really looking to, they were, next gen inheritors, but came from a family with a rich philanthropic legacy. So they sort of knew what impact could look like, even without, significant dollars. And they brought a lot of really interesting kind of intellectual capacity and social capacity to the work and really wanted to sort of deploy a strategic philanthropy mindset and sort of get to impact at scale on the issue they cared about. And that was the focus on education. So they started by taking a very strategic and, research-based approach to building that grant-making portfolio. And then, as Stephanie mentioned, they pretty quickly realized they wanted to augment their work with impact investing. And that was a real area of collaboration between our two firms because obviously the BBR team does, impact investing. But in the areas where they really wanted to align it very deeply with the grant-making portfolio, and they actually wanted to do some narrower private investments focused on sort of education technology in classrooms, that is impact investing, but really squared up directly with the grant making. That was an area of really deep partnership where we could provide something really bespoke to them that really drove a lot of impact. They also at a moment in time saw a particular gap in the field that once they understood it, they realized that their capital could very much uniquely fill. So they launched an organization through a fiscal sponsorship entity, and that became its own sustainable nonprofit, 2 years later or something. So they were able to basically seed fund something. And so they've really deployed a lot of different strategies, and they don't have a lot of time to engage in this. They're very busy professionals and, raising families. But with like their sort of clear vision and their sort of trust in the two teams together, they've really been able to do some amazing things, and have really I think benefited from encouraging the collaboration between our two firms, which has been great.
Well, I appreciate what you've both highlighted in that example. One is, the importance of being able to have a resource to outsource for your clients if you don't have that in-house capacity. So I appreciate that. And then also you brought up the idea of philanthropy at scale. And so I'm wondering if you could share sort of what are the hallmarks of philanthropy at scale?
Thanks, Deborah. For so many of our clients that we work with, they're at a point where their money is going to outlive them. It's going to outlive the next generation. And they're really thinking about, how do I give back in a way that is really meaningful to me and can actually make a difference? And sometimes the question is just, how do I do this? Can I do this? Like, this is my idea. This is my goal. Can you help me? And I think that to get to that scale and in my role as this dot connector, it's involving as many perspectives as we've talked about earlier, more tools, more resources, so you can achieve as many objectives that the client's trying to achieve to help them then, get their projects off the ground. And so an example might be we have a client that wanted to give to fund water wells in a really challenging area in Africa, Western Africa. And again, it was like, how do I do this? Can I do this? This feels really good to me. And it was sitting down and saying, well, what are the resources that you have to do this with? What are the vehicles? Do you have a donor advised fund? They had an IRA, they had a foundation, and thinking through who are those resources that I could connect them to that could help them get this done. And in this case, it was an international intermediary that had expertise and had the structure to be able to do the expenditure reporting and equivalency determination and whatever it was that they needed so that they could actually use their already stored philanthropic dollars that they had in their donor advised fund and then use those and get those out the door. And I think the more we can help clients think about getting the money that is either sitting and being waiting to give or continuing to give more and really do the things that they feel good about, that feels like a way to achieve scale to me. So it's just one example. And certainly I'm going to have Betsy answer the question if, and then I can certainly give some more examples, but I love that one.
Yeah, and I mean, I think philanthropy at scale, and I'll flip it a little bit to also talk about sort of what prevents philanthropy from getting to scale. I mean, philanthropy at scale is people spending at a minimum the dollars that they should be spending every year. And when I say should be, it's sort of the plan of what they want to, the aspiration for what they can get out. And when we see clients get or donors get really excited about what they're doing and see the impact and feel the impact, they want to do more and more. They get really fired up, not just about getting dollars out to the best places, but also again deploying that intellectual, social, political capital to move the needle on important issues. Many people working in philanthropy are from entrepreneurial, innovative backgrounds, and they can sort of see pathways that maybe others can't. And when you combine that with really smart community leaders infusing that process, it's super powerful. But sadly, we're really just not seeing philanthropic capital moving. And again, for some people, that's their choice. But what we have learned through a lot of recent research that Arabella conducted, and we'll link to the psychological barriers to giving report in the podcast description. But we recently did a report funded by the Gates Foundation and written in partnership with the National Center for Family Philanthropy in Ideas 42, is that these donors really want to be giving. Many have strong intrinsic motivation, but there's stuff that's really blocking them from getting to scale. And again, I think this is a call for increased rigor in our field and then increased collaboration across domains to really help people get through what is like a time where there's a higher processing burden on all of us. There's more information and complexity coming at us. I'm not an ultra high net worth individual, but I feel that in my day to day. And I can only imagine it's amplified for my clients. These sort of societal problems feeling really big and intractable these days. Really rampant binary thinking out in the field, which makes getting to solutions more complex, but it also makes conversations in our own families much more complex, or our own marriages or partnerships. And then we're seeing this sort of again, like more connection to people or ideas than ever, but like less deep connection. And it's really forcing people to get stuck and not operate at the strategic level or even a basic giving level where they want to be. And so I think it's really important given the need in the world to think about how we move more people to sort of working at scale and working, in strategic philanthropy.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that research is so important for those of us who work in this field to be able to see what it will take to get the money out the door and be making greater impact. Because that, at the end of the day, that's what we're at least those of us who are philanthropy advisors, that is our end goal with our clients, right? And if we can support that by overcoming those obstacles, if we can support that with collaborations with their current advisory team, and have us come in and be a part of the solution, then all the better. I'd love it. This has been such a great conversation to hear what it is you're both doing and what you're both doing together. I'm curious if you have sort of a summary statement that either of you would like to share about our conversation today.
This was such a rich conversation, and I always learn something from being part of a conversation like this too. And it also reminded me of something that I think may feel basic, and especially when we work with clients of the wealth that we do, but at any level of wealth, I think bringing up the conversation with the client, whatever technical role you're in, is so valuable. And just asking that one additional question that goes beyond the financial piece of the conversation to say, are you giving? How are you giving? Do you want to do less? Do you want to do more? And I think from there, it's going to unlock a lot of other conversations and bridge to other resources in the field. We're all out here, whether we're at another advisory firm and we're open to sharing our roles or in a different type of philanthropic advisor role, where, like Betsy or others, to be a resource. I think again, it just really starts with that first conversation. What are your goals? What do you want to do with your philanthropy? How can we help?
I love that. Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah. Basics. You got to start with the basics. Absolutely. Betsy, how about you?
I don't have too much more to add. I think I'll just real quick pile on top of Stephanie's comments, which is, I think people can be somewhat scared of these conversations because you get a little weary of stepping outside of your domain. But I think, again, like networks like PPI and other groups where you can maybe feel a little bit braver, like, what if I do ask that extra question and it takes me into an area of unknown, that you can trust that there are great, you know, people out there that can help you advance that conversation, or where you can, you know, pass something off. And so, you know, I've been connected to so many great folks through PPI. When I have kind of a client need that's outside of my domain, I can, you know, rest assured I can call a dot connector like Stephanie or a Steve Legler, or you know, all these great people that can give you tips on you know, how you can advance those conversations with your clients.
Yeah. Such a great ad, Betsy. Thank you. And a wonderful plug for the Purposeful Planning Institute community, which is really rich in terms of resources. I thank you both, Stephanie and Betsy, for joining me today for this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Deborah. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. And if you are a member of the Purposeful Planning Institute, I want to invite you to come post in the community forum and share your key takeaways from today's conversation. And if you're not a member yet, here's your invitation to join us and be part of our community and access the network, resources, and tools you need to transform your client relationships and your practice. And don't forget to use promo code PURPOSEFUL to receive a 10% discount on a membership. Learn more at purposefulplanninginstitute.com.